countercyclical payments and marketing loans. If they choose to go into ACRE, when they make that choice, they're stuck with ACRE, or they get to be covered under ACRE through 2012. So they could make this choice in 2009. In that case, they'd be covered under ACRE from 09 through 2012. They could wait till 2010. They could wait till 2011. But once they do make that choice, if they do make that choice, ACRE is their support program through 2012.
Well, if that's done, then how are ACRE payments determined for that crop year?
Okay, so like I said, ACRE guarantees a revenue level at the state level by crop. So for example, if you're covered under ACRE for 2009, the corn revenue guarantee would be equal to the yield guarantee for Illinois times the price guarantee for Illinois. And the way they figure the yield guarantee is they look at the last 5 years' yield levels at the state level. They subtract off the minimum yield in those 5 years, they subtract off the maximum yield, and then the 3 years remaining, they take the average of that, and that's the yield guarantee. On the price side, they'll be looking at the two most recent season average prices at the national level to account for that price side of the revenue guarantee. The revenue guarantee is just that price guarantee times the yield guarantee.
So what do you give up if you choose the ACRE program?
Well, if you do elect to go into the ACRE program, again, you do give up countercyclical payments. So ACRE is really a substitute for the countercyclical program. The other thing that you have to give up is 20% of your direct payments. And then finally, you also would, you are still covered under the marketing loan program as it stands, but your loan rates would be 30% below the levels at which farmers would be covered if they stayed in the traditional program. So it's basically a 20% cut in direct payments. You give up the countercyclical program, and then a 30% cut in loan rates for the marketing loan program.
How do you make the decision?
Well, personally, in my opinion, I think farmers need to consider how closely their yields track state level yields. So if you look at your yield history compared to the Illinois yield history for corn or soybeans or wheat or for whatever crop you're considering, if in general your farm level yields are above average when the state is above average and your yields are below average when the state is below average, then ACRE will provide a pretty good support program from a revenue standpoint. The price side is not that critical to really think about, because national prices are used to calculate that revenue guarantee, and then the actual revenue that determines payments for the year. The other thing farmers would want to consider here is how your planted acres compare to base acres when you're comparing the new ACRE program to the traditional programs. ACRE is actually, payments for ACRE are actually made based on planted acreage. Okay, so, but payments are limited to your total base acreage. So if you have 1,000 base acres and those are allocated to 500 base acres of corn and 500 base acres of soybeans, but you're now planting 1,000 corn acres, your ACRE payments on those 1,000 acres would be based on the ACRE program for corn, not 500 acres of corn and 500 acres of soybeans.
So if you're wanting to make a switch to a heavier rotation of corn in particular, I suppose you might want to go to soybeans, but it's quite like depending on what the input costs are.
Right.
But if you're really wanting to make a switch, this makes it much easier to do.
Yeah, the ACRE program, again, is based on planted acres up to your total base. So you can use ACRE to more closely match what your operation is doing today.
And that's one of the things that they could potentially gain. Are there others?
Well, the other thing that farmers need to consider is that under these traditional programs, these fixed price levels that determine countercyclical payments are well below where current market prices are at. So the chance of getting a countercyclical payment in the coming years is very, very low. And if countercyclical payments are triggered over the next few years, I think we have some bigger issues. The ACRE program, on the other hand, is based on more recent yield and more recent price levels. So the chance of an ACRE payment actually being triggered in a given year is much higher than those countercyclical payments under the traditional programs.
You want to open the phone lines up and take a few phone calls along the way, too?
Sure.
All right. Here's the numbers if you're listening and you have some questions about the ACRE program or any of the other farm programs. We'll try to handle those as well this afternoon. You can give us a call. The numbers are here. 217-333-9455. That's 217-333-9455 or 800-222-9455. We'll see if Nick Paulson can help you through the process of making some decisions about which programs would be most usable on your farm. Again, the numbers 217-333-9455 or 800-222-9455. Tell me about the implementation process of this one, because USDA is in the midst of a battle, I suppose, between the administration and those who drafted the legislation about which numbers to use to figure the ACRE program from, I think.
Yeah, one of the big controversies right now, I guess you could call it a battle between USDA and the administration, is on which season average prices that they'll actually use to formulate that price guarantee starting in 2009. And the two options available to them are to use the 2006 and 2007 season average prices or to use the 2007 and 2008 season average prices. And to give you an idea of what that means for the ACRE program, the difference between the two price guarantee levels, depending on which 2 years they choose to use, would differ by $1.23 per bushel for corn, almost $3 per bushel for soybeans, and about $1.50 per bushel for wheat. To put that in terms of what that would do to the revenue guarantee, you're looking at a difference of over $200 per acre on the revenue guarantee for corn, about $136 per acre for soybeans, and almost $100 per acre for wheat. So if USDA does go ahead and decide to use the more recent prices, again, that'd be the 07 and 08 prices to set the revenue guarantee for 09, that revenue guarantee would be much higher than if they used the older 06 and 07 season average prices. The implication of that is that potential payments that would come from ACRE in 09 would be much larger if they use those higher prices, which results in a higher revenue guarantee. Another specific item related to the ACRE program is they have a limit on how much that revenue guarantee can change from 1 year to the next, and they cap that at 10%. So whatever the revenue guarantee is set at for 2009, the 2010 revenue guarantee cannot increase by more than 10% from that level or fall by more than 10% below that level. So not only does this decision affect the revenue guarantee for 2009 by quite a few dollars per acre, it will also have impacts on how much that guarantee can change for 2010.
Nick, we have a caller on line one from Champaign this afternoon. I'd like to join our conversation with Nick Paulson, line one in Champaign. Hello to you.
Hello. I've got a question. I'm in the real estate business, and, you know, with the input costs of what land is either leasing for or selling for, as you try and extrapolate what something is worth based on the future values of these, you know, end of the year, how much money am I putting in your pocket? Do you see this? I see it as, you know, really creating a value that's less than market value. And I think market value now is driven by so many more things than what a farmer can, you know, walk away with. And I wonder if they factor that into any of these things.
Well, I know when farmers are negotiating cash rents or they're negotiating to purchase land, these government support programs are really something that I have to include in that decision. And specifically for this ACRE program, again, since this decision is a one-time decision that will stick with that farm through 2012 if it's made, that's something that farmers will need to consider when they're negotiating to rent new land or when they're talking to their landowners about what decision that landowner is going to make with regard to which program they'll choose. And the same goes for when you're negotiating to actually purchase farmland.
Do you have a feel for which would, in the big picture, would generate a higher return, or is that really kind of what this is all about? People have to make those decisions, and there's a bit of uncertainty which would achieve the higher yield.
Well, I will say that the ACRE program has the potential to generate much larger payments in any given year just based on where market prices are at right now. So I guess for that reason,
So that's what you see happening in the market, or foresee happening in the market.
Well, the market for land rental,
what people are going to do when they have to make this decision.
We have to take a break, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes. We're talking this afternoon with Nick Paulson. Sorry about that. I looked up and I wasn't thinking about where we were in the program this afternoon. Of course, the program is syndicated, and sometimes I'm not thinking about the commercial side of our program. So we need to take a little break for them to run some commercials, and we'll come back. We'll talk to our listener there on line one if they want to stay with us. But let's take a look at what the forecast for the two-state region looks like this afternoon. Ed Kieser says it should be cloudy. Some areas of rain, a few isolated thunderstorms. Lows will range from 47 in northwestern Illinois to 62 in south-central Indiana. Tomorrow, northern and west central Illinois, mostly cloudy. Elsewhere in Illinois, cloudy, a few isolated scattered showers, primarily during the morning hours. In Indiana, cloudy with some areas of rain. Highs will range from 66 in northwestern Illinois to 72 in the far south.
WILO programming is made possible by Tires Plus Total Car Care, located at Prospect and Market View in Champaign. Tires Plus provides complete car repair and maintenance. More information is available at 366-3201.
Dry weather should continue. Let's take a look at the extended forecast on Thursday, and that right on through Monday of next week, says Ed Kieser. Temperatures will run warmer than average late this week into early next week, favorable for crop maturation and, of course, harvesting. At this point, it appears that showers will move through the area next Tuesday or Wednesday, and that'll be followed by slightly cooler weather. But Ed says no unseasonably cold air is on the way just yet. A hard freeze possible in the extreme northwestern portion of the Corn Belt in the Dakotas on Monday morning of next week.
WILO programs are made possible by Community Concierge Magazine, telling Champaign-Urbana's story to new residents and old. Every issue includes an event calendar, attractions, and maps, as well as a business and shopping guide. Community Concierge Magazine is distributed 4 times a year throughout East Central Illinois.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is the Harvest Hour edition. Our guest today is Nick Paulson. He's a professor of Ag Finance in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're talking about farm programs this afternoon. When we left, Nick, we were discussing the difference between the current farm programs and the acre program, which one potentially might make more money, I suppose, or pay out more money to a producer. Maybe you could take up how payments limits vary under these two different options yet this afternoon.
Sure. So if farmers decide to stay under this traditional suite of programs, their payment limit on direct payments will be $40,000. Countercyclical payments will be capped at $65,000. And then if they elect to go into this acre program, the payment limit on those direct payments will be that $40,000 minus the 20% that they have to give up to enroll in acres. So the effective payment limit on direct will be $32,000 in that case. And then the payment limit on acre payments will be equal to that $65,000 limit that the farmers under the traditional program have for countercyclical payments. But then they get to add back in that 20% that they would give up under the direct. So the payment limits across the whole board here don't really change. They're just allocated a little bit differently among the direct versus the countercyclical or the acre program itself.
There's always paperwork that is involved with farm programs. Is the paperwork going to be hard, and when do you have to sign up for it if you want to do the acre program?
Well, from what I've heard, the very earliest that a farmer would have to make this decision for the 2009 crop year would be December. I've actually heard people say that it'll probably be even later in the spring before a decision will have to be made. As far as the paperwork goes, from the FSA's point of view, this is going to take a lot more data collection and record keeping. And to tell you the truth, I have no idea what this paperwork is going to look like to enroll in this new acre program, because you will have to provide FSA with some farm-level yield information for them to calculate your payments every year.
You said this: you're locking yourself in for 5 years once you've done this, and you can't change?
You're locking yourself in through 2012 if you choose the acre program. So if you do opt into the acre program in 09, you're locked in through 2012. You can put that decision off and wait till 2010 or 2011. But if you do go into acre at any point, then you are in that through through 2012.
I would assume that USDA is under some serious pressure to get a decision made as to which cropping years they're going to base the acre program on. Are they going to allow farmers to retroactively change their mind if things change along the way?
Well, I mean, I would anticipate that that would decision would have to be made before they could force farmers to make a decision. Otherwise, that would just, you know, be creating an additional problem there by, you know, having to allow farmers to be able to go back and change their mind. Just because this is so critical, the performance of the acre program relative to the traditional, just based on the analysis I've done, what prices they choose is very critical here.
So. Mm. And at this point, you're saying if they choose the higher prices, then performance – performance will be better, but that's performance in dollars paid out. How do you think it will perform as a safety net?
I've always kind of been a believer in shifting to more towards a revenue safety net rather than prices. I mean, the major criticism of the price-based programs is that when you don't have a crop to sell but prices are high, you don't get any support, but you're still under some financial stress. Under a revenue program, theoretically, that won't happen.
That's okay. Well, let's take up some other farm bill topics maybe. You've listed a couple, two or three. There's a new adjusted gross income limit that farmers need to be aware of?
So they've lowered that AGI limit to $500,000 for non-farm income and $750,000 for farm income.
These are gross incomes.
Yeah, these are gross adjusted gross income limits. So it's you can take the average of the most recent 3 years of gross income.
And what does that mean?
That means if you make more than $500,000 off the farm, you're ineligible for all farm payments. And if your farm income is over $750,000 per year, you're ineligible for farm payments.
You've listed another topic called direct attribution.
Okay, so another thing that's happened with the farm bill this year is they made it a little bit harder for farmers to come up with ways to spread out those payment limitations over multiple entities. And the way they're going to do that is tie all farm payments back to Social Security numbers. So for every Social Security number that has some type of beneficial interest in the farming operation, those payment limits apply to that SOCH number. So for instance, for married couples, you can basically double the payment limits on those direct programs or on the countercyclical or the acre program. But you can't spread those out over multiple entities anymore. It all comes back to a SOCH number.
And finally, Supplemental Agricultural Disaster Assistance Program, still around?
Right. So they've changed these a little bit. And the one program I did want to mention before we finish up here today is the Supplemental Revenue Program for Crops. And this program, the acronym that goes along with this program is the SURE program. And this is a whole farm revenue program, and it's supposed to replace ad hoc disaster assistance in the farm bill. And the payment limit on that is $100,000 per farm per year. And to be eligible for that payment, you have to live in a county that's been declared a disaster county, or you have to have farm-level losses that exceed 50% of expected revenue on the farm.
And finally, one other question. 10-acre rule. They just finally hammered this one out, I think. 10-acre rule means that...
Originally, the 10-acre rule made everyone...